Hello, welcome to the post-game show for the National League Division Series, Game 3, Cubs fans. That was an experience. I am emotionally drained. That game felt like it took all afternoon and all evening.
Did you ever have any doubt that the Cubs were going to come out on top?
I honestly didn't. Yeah. Like, I was very confident in how that game was going to turn out, just because it felt like, I mean, it was a roller coaster, you know.
That's like, for sure, yeah. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, same thing here, is I never really felt like the Cubs were in danger of losing the game, I guess.
Right. I mean, anytime the Cardinals scored, you know, it just felt like the Cubs had an answer to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, this lineup was just crazy today. Like, I looked at that lineup, and like, that is... I think that is the best lineup that the Cubs have put on the field this season, because there was no, other than Arrieta, there were no easy outs at all. And with the wind blowing out, like that was what I don't even know. Like, it's amazing, because we have a team that's like built on power, but that's not the only way that they know how to win. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of felt like today it was like, all right, Cardinals, guess what? We're going to beat you with bunts, and then the next day, we're going to beat you with home runs. Like, it was like...
Well, and then, I mean, I was just watching Schwarber's at-bats tonight. I just kind of singled in on his at-bats and was noticing how many crazy pitches he's able to lay off.
Like, yes.
That guy gives you a great at-bat. I mean, and I think that is throughout the lineup, you know, but it just kind of part and parcel of what the Cubs do is they're able to lay off the pitches that pitchers expect to get a swing on, get a swing and a miss on, get a strikeout on, and extend the at-bats.
Right. And one thing that kind of takes them out of it is the strike zone. And it's got to be, it has to be, like, part of TBS's broadcast. It has to be. Like, I don't, like, there were a couple of pitches that were like 6 inches off the plate according to the pitch tracks, and
yeah,
it cannot be this bad. Like, this cannot
it's
all
just
be on
the pitch tracker.
Yeah,
it's just the pitch tracks thing. It's I don't know what's going on there, but anyway, I mean, tonight it seemed like the Cubs kind of benefited from, you know, if he was calling pitches off the outside corner, I don't know. But anyway, crazy game. I feel kind of exhausted having watched it.
Yes.
But so much excitement in that game. I mean, I was yelling. We were giving each other high fives over and over and over again tonight, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean, you asked me if I had any fear that the Cubs would be able to come out on top. No, I thought that the Cubs were fine. I was really not worried about the outcome of the game. However, like, I was nervous, because even a 4-run lead there in the ninth inning, like, that still was like, especially like after the Piscotty home run, and then you've got freaking Holiday and then Hayward coming up next, and I was like, oh my gosh. But Rondon had looked pretty good up to that point. You know, I think if there wasn't already two outs, I maybe would have been a little bit nervous. And I was really surprised. Like, Holiday, didn't he swing on the first pitch? Wasn't that a first pitch out? I think it was, which kind of surprised me. I don't know why. Well, I guess I just expected, like, a 3-2 full count battle for 10 minutes. I guess that's just what I was like. I was geared up.
It was
up
kind
for.
Of merciful how quickly it ended there, because I don't know if I could have dealt with any more drama. But you're right. I mean, Rondon looked good up until that point, and he was doing, you know, with the 4-run lead, what he needed to do, which was to pitch aggressively and throw strikes and not walk people.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can kind of forgive the 2-run homer, you know, on that count, I guess. But, yeah, let's, why don't we talk about Jake Arrieta tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Before we get to him, why don't we talk about the home runs first? Because we kind of have already talked about him. So the stat that's out there is that this Cubs team, this is the first team in postseason history to have 6 different players hit 6 home runs in a game. And I believe, aren't they the first team to even hit 6 home runs in a game?
I have no idea. I think that's what they said. I didn't hear that part of the broadcast. I would imagine there has to be a team has to have hit 6 before.
I'm pretty sure that's what they said. Maybe the chat can verify
but
that.
But 6 by 6 different players. I thought that was the thing that was.
Well, no, I think they even set that record with the 5th. That it was the first time that 5 different players had hit home runs, and then 6th. So like the 1 through 6 spots in the batting order each hit home runs.
That's just absurd. Well, I mean, sure, you know, the wind was a factor on some of them tonight, I'm sure, but you know, for example, the Dexter Fowler homer, he hit almost an identical ball to that in game 1.
Right, right.
That was caught at the top of the wall.
Right, yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, they were helped a little bit in some cases. I mean, some of them were just frozen rope type of homers that really didn't make a difference what the wind was doing, but
well, yeah, but I think it was just there was impressive. I think there was a couple like I think Schwarber's home run was aided by the wind, and Fowler's probably was too, but yeah, the rest of them were, I mean, it's not like that, it's not like it was basket power, it's not like it was
Rizzo's was destroyed.
yeah we should mention, like, so if you're listening to the podcast version of this, if we sound a little bit scattered or overly energetic, way more energetic than we normally sound, like the game literally just ended like 10 minutes ago, so I feel like I should put that out there.
You guys like my excited voice?
So home runs, so, I mean, just home runs all over the place, right?
Well, and you know, so then the game got off to an auspicious start with the Schwarber home run, and you're thinking, okay, Arrieta's on the mound. This is a great start. He's going to be able to settle in now. And it kind of didn't necessarily work out that way.
No, he kind of started off like the first inning. Yeah, he had a 1-2-3 inning with 2 strikeouts. And then in the second inning, Hayward led off with a double. And then Arrieta got out of it. But the Cardinals were being very disciplined on his, you know, all of his off-speed stuff, anything low and away, they were being very disciplined on it. So you kind of had an idea right there, like, okay, they do have a plan of attack on
and
him.
And they had movie night last night, apparently.
The Cardinals did?
Game film.
Oh. he struggled in the 4th. That was like, you know, that's when he walked 2 batters in a row. And, like, I think he threw, like, well, obviously he threw 8 balls in a row, and I think it even,
yeah,
like,
boy,
maybe a couple more in the he got Hayward to strike out, I believe.
Yeah, but boy, yeah, that was so uncharacteristic. And I was listening on the radio at that point, and Coombe Dog was expressing just how rare it is for Arrieta to walk more than 1 batter in a game and to walk 2 in a row. I was sincerely concerned at that point because I didn't have a visual on what was going on, and you know, all I heard were the 2 walks, and I was really worried.
Well,
because they were talking about him landing, yeah, like checking his landing spot and things like that.
Yeah, they like he was not just like painting the corners or anything like that. Like he was missing badly, like badly. He had one that landed like probably 3 or 4 feet in front of home plate. He had the one that went over, I can't even remember who was batting, but over somebody's head. I mean, he went to the backstop. I mean, he looked, it was like Samardzija his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, Coombe Dog was speculating about him getting a cleat caught, you know, on his landing or something like that. And I couldn't see, so.
He didn't really seem to be messing around with it or anything. I'm not sure. But yeah, so I mean, so he struggled in the fourth. He ended up kind of getting out of it. I mean, he gave up, he gave up two runs that inning, right? I believe.
Yeah.
Because so Peralta hit that double. Yeah.
And that put the Cards up 2-1. And then at that point, I didn't even feel nervous at all. I mean, just given, like, you know, remember the first inning? I think the Cubs had two on and they hit into that double play. I mean, it just seemed like it was going to be one of those nights where they were going to be able to get their hits and get their runs.
Yeah.
So, and sure enough, Castro homered in the fourth inning to knot the game up at 2. But then Arrieta in the sixth inning gave up the two-run homer to Jason Hayward. And so we were predicting that, you know, he's bound to have a bad game at some point.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I guess this was it.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, it was it. And now you have to think like, okay, can we get back to the old Arrieta? Can we get back to, you know, second half regular season area. I mean, I'm honestly not concerned about it too much because, like, I think the wind was had a pretty significant impact on the game, and anything that was up in the air, I think, had a chance to go out. So I can't really. But I mean, his control. Forget the wind and everything. I mean, his control did not look good there for, you know, a couple of the fourth inning for sure. It seems like he had another inning. I've just got like chicken scratch everywhere. I don't know. I think there was another in the fifth, maybe. I don't remember. Anyways.
Well, the fifth he was fine. He came out clean in the fifth, but the sixth was the two-run Hayward homer.
Okay.
And so he went into the, what did he pitch, six tonight?
He pitched 5 2/3 or five, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 5.2. So Richard came in and got that last out.
Right. But he gave up 4 earned runs and 9 strikeouts, 2 walks.
Yeah. So an uncharacteristic 2 walks. Still 9 strikeouts. I mean, still, it's not like a horrendous performance. You mentioned his control wasn't there. And kind of the game for him, but hopefully I'm thinking, you know, he got that kind of out of his system and we can get back to lights out Arrieta as the playoffs go on.
Yeah, I think we will. I mean, I'm just looking at the chicken scratch that I do have, and like that fifth inning was amazing. So Fowler, I don't even remember how he got out, maybe struck out, I can't remember. And then Soler singled, Bryant homer, Rizzo homer. So there's your two guys that, like, we've kind of been worried about somewhat. I mean, they just haven't done anything here in the postseason. And those are two guys that you really need their offense. You need those bats producing. And to see them go back-to-back, and, yeah, neither of those were aided by wind. Those were going out either way. And then to see them.
So good to see.
Yeah.
They needed that.
Yeah, and then to see them, like, kind of still extend the inning, because then Schwarber walked and Baez singled. So, I mean, it wasn't purely, you know, solo home runs, but that is definitely what carried him.
Yeah, for sure. it was just a fun night. And, you know, I like Arrieta going forward. As he's going to face teams that haven't seen him as much as the Pirates and the Cardinals.
Right.
I feel like that bodes well. I mean, I'm just looking right now. He's faced the Mets twice, 2 wins, 6-1 wins for the Cubs in both of the games he started against the Mets this season. And as far as the Dodgers are concerned, I'm sure it's similar numbers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
well,
I,
he threw a no-hitter against him.
Well, yeah, there's that. but anyway, I think going forward in the playoffs, I think he'll be better than tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think we've seen, like, as far as the playoffs goes, the postseason goes, I think this was the worst of Arrieta. And, you know, who knows? Maybe a night like this where the offense was there to pick him up, maybe an outing like this isn't necessarily a bad thing. I don't know. I can't really say. Yeah. I'm not into like sports psychology or anything. I don't understand how it works, but I'm going to assume maybe it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think he'll be totally fine.
Yeah. Okay. So then, let's stay on pitching. Pedro Strop.
Yeah. We talked on the very last recording. Whether or not he should pitch again against the Cardinals, given how he's done against them in the past. And we had differing opinions on that, and I think they were both decent opinions. But I was thinking it would be good for him to get into a game and kind of just get his mojo back against the Cardinals, and then that would be good for him and useful for him going forward in the playoffs to get a good performance against the Cardinals, because the Cubs can certainly use him going forward.
Right. Yeah, I think the approach I took was, you know, only really use him if we need him, because St. Louis kind of, we thought, had the book on him. And but again, like I said on the last episode, I think I said it, like, I am not going to second guess Joe Maddon. If Joe Maddon decides it's time to go to Pedro Strop, then it's time to go to Pedro Strop. I can't question him.
Sure. I mean, yeah, all the times I've questioned a decision that he's made, I usually end up looking stupid. So, yeah, it's, if we don't have faith in him by now, I don't know what we're watching.
Yeah. Yeah. So he pitched a great inning. And then Rondon, I mean, other than just that one mistake pitch, in giving up the 2-run homer, you know, because I can't even remember who was on first base and then took second, whoever it was. The only reason
Randall Grichuk.
Yeah. The only reason that happened was because of it. I guess it wasn't scored an error, but I don't know. Looked like an error to me, I guess, on Baez. But I mean, that was just
Baez's defense.
Yeah, let's kind of talk. Shaky. You know, there were some. This was not the cleanest Cubs game. I think Baez and Castro both looked pretty shaky at different points. So Castro had a kind of a bobbled grounder, I guess, where he kind of like lost it. I can't remember if it was like in the hand, you know, from the glove to the hand, but he did recover and was able to throw the runner out at first base. And then, you know, Baez had that ground ball where it just seems like there wasn't really like, I don't even know what the right term for it is. It's not
the transfer. It was like a backhanded play where he dropped it and it dribbled into left field. Are you talking about the throw? He threw it?
That's what I was thinking, where he just kind of, it wasn't even that he didn't have a sense of urgency. It was just like, and this is not the right term, but like lackadaisical, I guess. I think that's maybe even what they said on the TV broadcast. And I would not accuse Javier Baez of being lackadaisical, but it was, I guess he just wasn't careful enough.
Confident. And I mean, he's so confident in his abilities that I think that was more it. He's just feeling like this is going to be a comfortable play. I do stuff like this all the time.
Right.
And then his coordination lets him down.
Right. Yeah.
For some whatever reason at that point.
Yeah. And I mean, he wasn't like set. He was moving as he threw that ball and everything. But then, yeah, the backhand, which was not ruled an error. I think they called it a hit. But, you know, it just was. Well, and then the one that kind of bugged me is Castro running into Baez's hit. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, that was irritating.
Yeah,
I mean,
and I don't know,
I don't
if
understand
it just,
how he even lets that hit him.
I don't, and there was really no reason for him to kind of like, you know, sometimes you'll see a runner kind of hold up to kind of block the view of the second baseman or something, but the second baseman was over towards second base. I mean, that ball was going through, and I don't know why he kind of, and maybe what it was, he just got caught in the middle, and he, you know, split second. Do I stop? Do I go? And he just kind of froze. I mean, he didn't freeze,
yeah,
but
I think you're exactly right, as he was kind of caught in between stopping and going. And so then he tries to jump. In the chat, somebody said Baez has been banished the whole season. What can you expect from him? I expect him to play solid defense still. I mean, I think he's known for playing solid defense. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't. I mean, that was a little bit of a tough play, that backhanded stop and throw, but.
Right. And they said on the TV broadcast that, they maybe wouldn't have gotten him anyways. So, I can't really hold that one against him. And it wasn't like, these weren't like mistakes that would just drive you nuts, but it's like, you know, luckily we had a little bit of a cushion and those things didn't hurt us really. But,
but they're, you know, if they do stuff like that in multiple playoff games, you can expect to be hurt by it at some point,
right,
if they're not playing clean games.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, that is what goes along with a very young lineup, you know.
Right.
I mean, okay, yeah. There you go. You might have some defense
six
issues.
Home runs by right. six different exactly. players, but you're gonna have a few balls here and there booted or
exactly.
kick off the heel or whatever.
You know, you kind of
yeah. That's a good point. I mean, we love the youth and we love the vim and vigor that they bring to the game. But sometimes that's going to equate to miscues, I suppose.
Yeah. I was getting kind of nervous, and I'm curious how you felt about it with like some of the defensive substitutions. Like it kind of felt like Soler got pulled right after he hit his home run. And that was in the sixth. So I was like, man, it's kind of like with the wind blowing out and everything, it felt a little bit nervous or it felt a little bit early to go defense because you just don't, especially. And then as like, as they hit that 2-run homer in the ninth, and I'm looking and it's like, okay, we have Dino out there. Coughlin, he's got some power, and that's good.
Right.
But, I mean, I was kind of like, oh, boy, I wish we had Soler
and Schwarber
back in there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I'm sure Madden had confidence in the pitching to get it done. Cahill looked good again tonight, by the way.
Yes.
Had that what would have been the third out misplayed.
Yeah.
Was that Castro
yeah.
too?
That was the one to Soler or to Baez, right?
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
sure that's the one to Baez. Cahill looked really good though. I mean, he was very like very efficient, and he was in game three too. I'm sorry, game yeah. two as well.
He's turning into quite a weapon for Madden. I mean, I'm starting to feel pretty confident when I see him on the mound. And
did you see when he was in there that he went to tie his shoes and he's wearing Los Angeles Dodgers socks?
It's pretty funny. He did the team that cut him, right? So, you know, maybe trying to exercise some demons there.
Just his good luck.
I had a stockings. Tweet ready. I had a tweet ready that was Cahill equals K, the letter K dash Hill, not to be confused with Koi. but he then didn't get out of the inning.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and deleted that one.
That's in my drafts. Okay. How about the Addison Russell apparent injury? Yeah. Now that kind of, to me, it doesn't look like it's too bad of an injury. So they said it's a hamstring tightness,
so, right. not pull.
Right.
So if it's just tightness, you know, it could have been even like a cramp or something, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, you put the roller on it, you lay him down on the whatever the chiropractor bed and roll it out.
Yeah. Well, you know,
stretch it out, pull the toes toward the face. I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. I hope it's not a big deal because up until that point, I mean, yeah, well, like, okay, that he got injured on the triple, which that ball narrowly missed going out.
Yeah.
But he clubbed that ball. And so This is cool to see his hustle. Like, I was out of my chair on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, when he rounded second, that was pretty exciting. But I kind of figured, you know, and it may have been like barely anything at all. And maybe they thought, you know what, let's just get him out. Because as we know, we have a lot of shortstops. And and I think, you know, when you, and it's kind of funny looking at it now, because you'd think, well, Baez is a very solid defensive shortstop. And of course he didn't play real solid tonight.
Oh yeah.
But
we've seen him destroy defensively at shortstop.
Right.
More than we've seen him make mistakes. We've seen him play solid shortstop. And in fact, when I saw him come into pinch run at third base, I was actually pretty excited to see him. I was like, oh yeah, Baez.
yeah, I was too. And I think that you know, I saw somebody in the chat earlier said maybe he was, you know, not mentally prepared, something like that, to play defense tonight. I don't know if that's the case. I think they're probably always prepared to go in, but I suppose that might be true a little bit. And if Russell does have to sit tomorrow, then I think that Baez is adequate there. I mean, obviously not, probably not quite as slick at shortstop defensively, and probably not as, you know, consistent at the plate as maybe Russell would be. But Baez has that home run power that, you know, he's got that like game changing power. So I'm really not too worried about it. And when Russell came off, it didn't look like even his facial expressions and kind of like how the dugout was acting and stuff, it didn't seem like it was real, you know, like serious or whatever.
Right. How about the team giving Anthony Rizzo the silent treatment when he came back from his homer?
yeah. It's fun to see.
That's pretty funny.
Those guys having fun. Man, I don't have a whole lot to say. I mean, well, the one thing, and I think I'm going to blame the TBS broadcast. We can blame them for their crummy strike zone. I also think that it had to have been louder in that ballpark than what it sounded on than how it sounded on TV, because it did not sound loud
on the radio. On the radio, it sounded way louder, I thought. It sounded nuts on the radio. In fact, it sounded like Pat was straining his voice. Almost to like talk over the crowd. Yeah. To me, I don't know if I was imagining that, but it just seemed very loud on the radio. So I mean, I don't know if that was just me imagining that, but you're right. I mean, it did seem sort of subdued. Yeah, thank you. Somebody in the chat confirmed that too.
Yeah. Well, and that's something where, I mean, Andy, you and I are going to be in Wrigley Field tomorrow, and so we will be able to give you a firsthand account of how loud it is there.
Well, Corey was responsible for the crowd noise mic in spring training, and so maybe that's another thing the TBS broadcast sucks at, is placing the crowd noise mic.
Yeah, because here's what you do.
Or mics.
So I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before. Maybe I did, but it was where Mick Gillespie, we were up there with Mick and Lynn Casper doing the broadcast, and afterwards Mick said, hey, will you run down and grab the crowd mic? Or he said, will you grab the crowd mic? And usually what broadcasters do, especially because I've been around more minor league broadcasts and stuff, is they just hang a microphone out of the press box. Like, there's literally just a microphone hanging out, and that's what picks up the crowd noise. And I was like, oh yeah, sure. And I was kind of looking around, I was like, oh, where is it? And he pointed like halfway up the backstop. It was like up there. And so I had to go like climb a ladder and pull that thing down. Yeah, here in the chat, Nine Tail Nate says spring training seems so long ago. No kidding. Isn't it just crazy what we've been through?
Seems like ages ago.
The only other thing I would say is I will be glad. Like, when I would be thrilled if the Cubs never had to face Jason Hayward again, because it seems like
he's an impact player.
He has been haunting the Cubs. I believe. Well, in fact, I believe his rookie year with the Braves, they played the Cubs on opening day. So that was maybe like, oh, I don't know, eight maybe.
Oh, really? That long ago?
Seems like it. It was maybe 08 or 09. It was somewhere in there. And he played an excellent game against the Cubs. And yeah, it was
2010.
Verified in the chat that his first at-bat was a home run against the Cubs. And it seems like he had a couple more hits in that game. And he has just been haunting the Cubs ever since. And that's one thing that made me really nervous about him going to the Cardinals this season. And so I am hoping that he decides to go elsewhere in his free agent year and signs a contract somewhere
out of the division
in the American League.
Yeah. In fact, just go play somewhere in the American League.
Yeah. He is a frightening player. So let's look ahead. Anything else you want to say about today?
No, today's it was game? A blast. I really
it was
loved
a blast
watching the game. And it made me very excited for tomorrow.
Right. So do you think that tomorrow will be even if Wrigley Field was really energetic and hopping tonight and Wrigleyville was, what do you think it's going to be like tomorrow? Do you think it's like people were excited today because it was the first game, or do you think tomorrow is going to be like way more crazy because it's a potential clinching game?
Yeah, I think it'll be bananas tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be similar, if not more crazy.
Yeah.
Crazier, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's. I think it will be, and I'm back to kind of how I felt, not quite as bad about season or about game two, not quite that bad as far as nervousness like right now, but I think I will be by then, and I think, Andy, do you think that game four tomorrow is must win for the Cubs?
Not necessarily, because I think that the Cubs will be able to put Lester on the mound on if they had to go to game five. I think it behooves the Cubs to win it tomorrow. I mean, but I don't feel like game five would be unwinnable for the Cubs either.
I don't either, but I don't want to go back there. Like, I don't
know.
That environment is not where I don't want
winning game two was setting the table perfectly for the Cubs for the series.
Right.
To have these next two games at Wrigley. I think it was set up the perfect scenario really for the Cubs. With that being said, yeah, you want to win at home. You don't want to have to go back to St. Louis. But with all that being said, I still think they could win in St. Louis game five. I don't have any trouble seeing them doing that if they had to.
I think they could too. I just don't want to, like, there's too much devil magic around there. Like, I just don't want to go back there. And I love the idea of giving these guys, you know, game one of the NLCS would not be until Saturday. So I think that would be really nice to give them some time off. And really, I mean, that allows Arrieta to go game one. I think we could do.
Yeah.
So I that would allow Arrieta game one. And then if we didn't have to go to St. Louis for game five, that would give Lester game two. So I really like, I don't know, I just really think the Cubs need to take care of business tomorrow. And I think the Cubs have every intention. The Cubs don't want to go back to St. Louis. I think the Cubs would love for Wrigleyville to be hopping tomorrow night. Like, I think they would love that.
Holy cow, what a beautiful thought.
Yeah. Well, and I'm getting some flack in the chat about using the term devil magic or whatever. And what I mean is that, kind of what I talked about on our last episode, is that the Cardinals have that experience. They have success. They have seen late inning comebacks, and the team and the fans expect it. And I think that there's, you know, just through confidence, it allows them to accomplish some things that, I don't know. That's what I mean, I guess, by devil magic. It's not like, I don't actually think that there's like something special about that ballpark or anything. I just think that they have seen it happen, and so they have that success to kind of, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've talked myself into a corner.
I mean, it just seems to kind of feed off of itself, you know, like a taste of success.
Right. Yeah.
And we see that with the Cubs too.
Yeah. Right. Yep. So the Cardinals are scheduled to throw Lance Lynn, and maybe, I don't know if, I mean, there was kind of talk on the broadcast, the TV broadcast, that they might put Lackey in to pitch, you know, that he might actually start. So if anybody in the chat has heard anything recent, somebody says that Matheny says it's Lackey. At bat says Lackey. Yep. Okay. So it's Lackey, not Lance Lynn, which really freaking sucks. I would much rather face Lance Lynn. But I think Lackey is hittable, especially all these Cubs batters just saw him a couple days ago, but they beat the crap out of Lance Lynn. So that's why, yeah. I was hoping. Yeah. The Cubs are 303. Their slash line is 303, 391, 492 versus Lance Lynn. Like, Castro's hitting 368, Fowler's 357, Rizzo 345. So, I mean, and with home runs in there too. So I was really hoping. But, you know, this is a must win for the Cardinals. They have to pull out all the stops, and it's not a surprise. So if they're throwing Lackey out there, if you're Joe Maddon, do you stick with Jason Hamill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the game where you have Hamill out there. Definitely a short leash type of situation, because you have Travis Wood who could come in, and maybe Clayton Richard. And if, you know, things go south, but I think Hamill's due for a good outing. I think it's a good call on this part to put him out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. I think I have a lot of faith in this offense. So that's part of why I feel pretty confident.
Right.
And I think Hamill is going to have a quick hook. Like you said, I think Wood has pitched well. Cahill has pitched well. Richard has pitched well. You know, I just think that they could go to several players and it would be just fine. So it's, I don't know. Hopefully the wind, I don't know. Do we want the wind to be blowing out like it was today? I'm not sure. With Hamill pitching, I'm not sure.
But I think with one of your starters on the mound who, listen, well, first of all, the Cubs are kind of more built for a power game, for a slugfest than
you're
the
right.
Cardinals.
Yes.
That hasn't been the Cardinals game this season. They rank low in the National League as far as home runs are concerned. So I think any sort of, you know, slugfest type of scenario plays into the Cubs' hands. So I would say, yeah, the wind blowing out would be to the Cubs' advantage.
Yeah. Predictions for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the Cubs win. I think it's maybe like a 6-5, 7-5 game, something like that. I think it will be another slightly higher scoring affair.
Yeah, I think I could see it being a slugfest too. And I think the Cubs are going to win. I don't know. I'll say like 6-4, but I think that this will be one of those wins where you look at how I think that Joe Maddon will outmanage Matheny, and I think it'll be one of those that, like, you have to really credit Joe Maddon. Like, I think this is a win that he generates. Cuz I think you don't have a great pitcher going to the mound. You know, I mean, he's okay, but I mean, he's not going to go 8 innings. And so there's going to be a lot of room for creativity and just Joe Maddon doing his thing.
Yeah, what's he going to do, bunt in a run? Kirk says.
Right. All right, so that's the post-game show for Game 3 of the NLDS. Game 4 is tomorrow, and there will be no post-game show because Andy and I will be up there. Unfortunately, Kurt, who is in our chat right now, will not be with us, so that kind of sucks. So hopefully we'll have an episode later in the week to preview Game 1 of the NLCS, and hopefully we're not previewing Game 5 of the NLDS. I really don't want this series to go back to St. Louis, so... So thank you for listening. Tell your friends that are Cubs fans about these episodes that we're doing here in the postseason. And until later this week, go Cubs. So don't you give up.